We will check the financial health of the sick patient known as Greece.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Greece may need a third bailout, and now it's official. The Greek finance minister says the country could need about $13 billion in order to keep itself on track. Joining us now live is Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard in London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, David.
So why is Greece asking for this money? And they've had a lot already.
Yeah, well, the Greek economy is still shrinking. While the eurozone as a whole has clawed its way out of recession, Greece shrank by 4.5% in the second quarter, and its public finances are still in a terrific mess. As you say, the country now reckons it needs another $13 billion to cover itself next year, this after it's borrowed about $320 billion under two previous bailout programs. Will it get the third bailout? A decision will be made in the fall. The answer is probably yes, because the cost of letting Greece go to the wall in terms of losses on its government bonds and the contagion effect are probably too horrendous for the rest of the eurozone and Germany in particular to contemplate.
And on the upside, it is possible that Greece may begin borrowing again in the bond market as early as next year. But there's some trouble this morning elsewhere. I think it's Italy this morning.
Yes, the old specter haunting Italian politics has risen again. Former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, his party, a partner in Italy's fragile coalition government, is threatening to pull the plug on that government if the rest of the coalition votes to expel Berlusconi from Parliament over his tax fraud conviction. That could force early elections, more uncertainty over the eurozone's third biggest economy, and after a long period of calm, that's reigniting fears that our old friend the eurozone debt crisis could flare up again in the fall.
All right, let's hope not. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London, thank you very much. Now, people in the know in the pharmaceutical industry have been watching this for about 2 months. An auction. Who wants to bid the most for Onyx, maker of a cancer drug that could generate sales of $2 billion a year? As the auctioneer says, sold. The biotech giant Amgen will buy Onyx for $10.4 billion. The big Onyx drug is Kyprolis to treat multiple myeloma. Amgen stock is up 4% pre-market this morning. Now let's do some more numbers. The FT 100 index in London is up 0.7%, but stock index futures for the United States are down at the moment. Let's talk now about the glass ceiling for women in law. Right now, about 16% of equity partners at big law firms are female, a number that's barely budged in a decade. This despite the fact that women graduate from law school in almost the same numbers as men. Women partners also earn, on average, just under $500,000 a year. Men, $734,000, according to a new survey of lawyers' compensation. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Women lawyers at top firms hate drawing attention to their gender.
We've been told for decades that if we talk about women's issues, we're whining.
Victoria Pynchon was a litigator for 25 years and is the co-founder of a consultancy called She Negotiates. She says a new generation of women is realizing they can't get to the top just by working hard and following the rules.
Women lawyers in these major law firms are saying goodbye to all of that. And they are exercising power without being given the authority to do so. And this is something that men do without even thinking about it.
For example, she says at one large firm, when they vote for a new equity partner, women partners now come together to support the best female candidate. That may sound like a small thing, but by block voting, they improve that candidate's chance of getting elected. Women at that firm didn't want to talk on the record because what they're doing is not official firm policy. Some men within firms are also trying to change the status quo. Beth Kaufman heads the National Association of Women Lawyers. She says in-house attorneys at client companies are on the case as well.
One general counsel raised her hand and said, I'm just going to go call up my law firms and say, I want you to have 30% of your equity partners, women, within some reasonable amount of time.
But even if you become a partner, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll become a top moneymaker. Marla Persky is currently general counsel for a global pharmaceutical firm. Next year, she's starting a company to teach female lawyers how to be financially savvy, knowledge she says many sorely lack.
With everything, you've got to follow the money. At the heart of power and influence within firms is the ability to make rain. You've got to be able to bring in clients.
When women do more of that, she says, both their compensation and status within firms will increase. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The U.S. Open tennis tournament starts today. It calls itself the biggest annual sporting event in the world. That's by calculating attendance. But what about the dollars? Ann Hepperman reports.
When it comes to money, the U.S. Open really serves a wallop. Roughly $750 million for New York's economy, according to the U.S. Tennis Association. That's $200 million more than the Super Bowl. Of course, the tournament lasts 2 weeks, and those numbers may be a little loose.
They're not being conservative.
Lisa Delpy-Nerati is a sports management professor. She says the U.S. Open counts tourists, who bring in new money, and New York tennis fans, who might be spending anyways.
And so instead of just going out to dinner, now maybe they're going to the U.S. Open.
When it comes to one-time ad dollars, the Super Bowl wins, says Kenneth Shropshire of the Wharton School. But while Super Bowl ads hawk razors and fast food, the U.S. Open reaches consumers with pricier tastes.
The Rolex, the Lexus, this is the demographic. You can reach them.
They're also more brand loyal. But, he says, naming the money champion is really a toss-up. In New York, I'm Ann Hepperman for Marketplace.
And four senior tech specialists at the financial services giant Goldman Sachs had a bad weekend. The Financial Times is reporting they've been put on administrative leave after a software mess last Tuesday caused faulty orders in options markets, a fiasco that could cost Goldman tens of millions. This is separate from the three-hour NASDAQ outage on Thursday. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
California has some beautiful hillside property. They're also prone to wildfires, sadly. Fire insurance could help with that.
Well, in effect, we are incentivizing the capacity of people to move up into these mountains and to enjoy that gorgeous real estate.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Great views, big risk. Next time on Marketplace, the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.